I believe that one of the last things that Jesus did on the cross was to tell a dying thief that he was going to be in paradise that same day. Can you think of that man? What all he did in his life? He was a thief and a murderer. He had killed people. He had stolen. He had made so many women widows by killing their husbands. He had made so many children fatherless by killing their fathers. And the Romans crucified only the worst criminals. Others were put in jail. And the worst were crucified. And so this guy was one of the worst. One of the worst human beings in Israel who had done so much evil that even the Romans felt jail is not good enough for him. He's got to be crucified and killed. Get rid of such people. And all he said was, Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't make any promise, I'm going to live a whole, if I come down from the cross, I'll live a holy life, any such thing. He says, I deserve this. Turn with me to that passage. Luke's Gospel. And chapter 23. Luke 23. And it says here about these people, one of the criminals who was hanged there. You see, they were both criminals, both done equally evil. And one of them turns around and tells the Lord, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He's only interested in being saved from the cross. And the other, even before Jesus had said anything to him, he turns around to the other person and says, don't you fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? That expression, don't you fear God? Can you believe that this murderer had some little atom of the fear of God in him? That's what he uses to his expression to the other thief. How can you speak to somebody like this? Don't you fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? That's the first thing he expresses, is asks the other person to fear God. And the second thing he says is he admits, I deserve this punishment. We are suffering justly. We are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. I think he must have known something about Jesus, because Jesus was going around all over Israel preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and he must have heard about him without a doubt. And he said, this man has done. How did he know who this person was? I'm sure he knew something about him. It was not just another criminal hanging there. He wouldn't have said these things to say, because it was a very common thing to see criminals hung on the cross. But this man knew that this is not a criminal. This is Jesus. This man has done nothing wrong. There are certain things we see in his attitude there. He was obviously sorry for the way he lived. And he had some fear of God. And so he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Just remember me. He's not asking him to take him to heaven. Just remember me. And Jesus said, truly I say, today you will be with me in paradise. What did he know about divine truth or sanctification or justification? He knew nothing. It was a heart that God saw there. And I learned something there. And I think of that expression he used, don't you fear God? The word fear of God is better understood as a reverence for God, because fear sometimes is brings us the thought of being afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. Not at all. The word fear is, don't you reverence God? Don't you have a respect for Almighty God? That's what He was telling him. So, in the Old Testament, the main emphasis upon for the Israelites was to learn the fear of God. It was like, think of this verse that I've often quoted in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord, or let's read it as respect and reverence for God, is the beginning of wisdom. Because fear always gives us the impression of somebody you've got to be afraid of. That's not the meaning here. The meaning is respect and reverence. You're not afraid of your parents. You should not be. But you must respect your parents. And when it comes to God, you must not only respect but reverence Him, because He's the ruler of this universe. But you don't have to be afraid of Him. Nobody needs to be afraid of God. But we have to respect and reverence Him. So the fear of God means respect and reverence for God, which I'll tell you is lacking in the world today. It's lacking among Christians. But it says here, and I put it like this, the respect and reverence for God, verse 10, is the ABC of wisdom. In other words, that's the kindergarten lesson. When you go and join school, you go into the kindergarten. You don't go to the second grade or fourth grade. No, you go to the kindergarten. And I really believe that many Christians, the reason they don't grow is like a kid who's sent to school, and instead of being humble enough to go to the kindergarten, he wants to sit in the third grade or something. And he doesn't understand a thing of what's being taught there. He can't even read the book in front of him because he never went to kindergarten. He never learned to read ABC. He never learned that BAT is bad and CAT is cat, and he's sitting in the third grade trying to listen to all the things being taught over there. I really believe that is the problem with many, many Christians, and possibly with you. Ask yourself, have you sat in the kindergarten enough and learned reverence for God? That's the ABC of wisdom. You need to repeat to yourself that the reverence for God is the ABC of wisdom. I've said this before and I want to repeat it. The big difference between today's Christians and Christians in 2000 years in the New Testament age and those Jewish people who were the first people to hear the gospel from Jesus. The big difference is, for example, the disciples. Think of those, forget Judas, but the other 11 disciples. When Jesus spoke to them, they had only learned reverence for God for 30 years. Some of them were 27. I think all of those disciples were between 27 and 30. And all their life, they never knew anything about grace or any such thing. They never even heard that word in the Old Testament. But they did learn fear of God, reverence for God, reverence for God, reverence for God, all for 27 years. If that was the ABC of wisdom, that's what their parents taught them. And then all of a sudden they come to Jesus, who tells them how they can be forgiven and can be happy in the Lord and overcome sin and have righteousness in their life. And they came into that so quickly. On the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they came into a godly life. It's because they had this background of 30 years of learning to reverence God and fear Him and respect Him. Whereas today's Christians, and Christians for these 2,000 years, the first thing they hear is not reverence for God. What is the thing that's being preached in most churches today? God forgives you. You love Him. Just say you're sorry for your sin. He'll forgive you. He died on the cross for you. That's the first message they hear. That's not the first message that those disciples heard. First message those disciples heard was not God loves you. First message they heard was for 30 years they heard you must reverence God, reverence Him, respect Him, respect Him. They learned the ABC so well that when they came to hear about God's love, they could really embrace it. I want to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, please consider that this may be the reason for so much instability in your life, and this may be the reason why you never seem to come to a life of overcoming some of the bad habits you have, the thought patterns that you have, the language of anger, and that we never seem to overcome because we didn't start with the reverence for God. We jumped into third or fourth grade without learning the ABC. So it's never too late to say, Lord, teach me reverence for You. Teach me to respect You. To respect Your word. I really believe that is the greatest need. If you ask me what is the greatest need among Christians. It is a respect and reverence for God.